Hope you all are well this morning. I am feeling pretty different. I got to sit and listen to these guys worship, and that was pretty cool. Thank you guys for leading us this morning. I appreciate it. I don't think I've done that in a while. Just got to sit. Usually when someone else is leading, I'm out of town somewhere or gone, but it was really nice just to get to sit and worship. This morning, I get the privilege of sharing about God's Word this morning, and that is not something I take lightly. And so I'm just thankful. It's so good to be with you all. I think I say this often from like my worship platform over here, but just gathering together and encouraging one another and challenging one another, it's just something that I know it kickstarts my week. It gives me a focus and an excitement just to do the things that God has called us to in the day-to-day. And so I'm always glad to be with you guys. I hope you feel the same way. This morning, I want to have a little bit of I have a little interesting agenda. I want to talk about something that I'm really passionate about, which, if you know me, is nothing new. I always pretty much only talk about the things that I'm really passionate about. That's just the kind of person I am. I live very passionately. I just go for it. If you spend too much time around me, you already know that. But the thing I want to talk about this morning is this right here, this book. I want to talk about the Bible because I don't know about you. It's okay if not, but I love this book. And I don't mean that as like a churchy, like I'm not trying to like, I don't know, I'm not trying to give like the church answer or whatever, but I am enamored by this book. It is a good book. It's the good book, right? But I just love it. There is so, I remember it was probably, I can pinpoint it honestly. When I was in youth group, there was a winter retreat. Let's see, 2000. It was in 2000. I would have been younger. And I was pretty young. And I just remember that it was that winter retreat. It was at Camp Tecumseh. Some of you in this room were probably there. Some of you in this room weren't born. Some of you in this room were already retired at that point, and that's fine. Wherever you are, it's fine. But I just remember that was the first retreat where I started to really get into this book, and I was like, man, there is some depth and some breadth to this book that I think it's going to take another look. I think I need to keep reading this thing. And so I did, and I haven't stopped. That led me to go into ministry full time. That led me to go to college where I studied theology and the Bible and Christian ministry. So it's not just a churchy answer or a light thing to say that I am enamored by this book. I think that this book has stood the test of time. It's been around a long time, and I think there is just some unbelievable stuff in here. So this morning, I don't want to talk about a specific passage, but I just want to talk about how we deal with the fact that we have such an awesome book that gets to lead us and guide us in our quest to know who God is, to know who He's creating us to be. What an awesome tool that we have. It has become increasingly more important, I think, in a postmodern world. If you don't know what postmodernism is, I can't really go into it right now. Google it. The fact that you can Google anything is a byproduct of postmodernity, I would say. But that's neither here nor there. But I think it's become increasingly more important in the world that we live in today to do the hard work of biblical criticism. Biblical criticism is a way of reading this book and getting into all the nitty-gritty details and really trying to figure out what it is saying, what the original authors were trying to say, what each context has to offer us, what things, the literary styles, the contextual aspects, all of that. The work of biblical criticism is really important. I say that because in our postmodern society, it seems like the internet has made it so that everything's just, you can believe anything you want because you can find a source for it, right? Like anything you really want to believe, you can Google it or go online and you can find somebody to agree with your point and say, look, I'm right because of this. Well, no, you're not. Just because it says it on the internet, if this is shocking for anyone, I hope you listen. Just because it says it on the internet doesn't make it true. I know. It's okay. Daniel's offering counseling afterwards if that was hard for you to hear. But we live in this world, right? We live in this world where information abounds and there's a lot of bad information. Okay? We all know that. That's become pretty obvious in our modern media. But because of all these things, doing the hard work of biblical criticism is important. It's so important. And honestly, I don't think that I encountered some really intense biblical criticism until I got to college. Until I went to ministry school, I didn't really hear people addressing these kinds of things like Greek and Hebrew words or literary styles or context or cultural phenomenon. Honestly, that bothers me a little bit. And that bothers me. It's bothered me so much to we've led to this point where we are right now today. Where I feel like the church should be the ones leading the way with this. But I didn't hear it. And I've spoken with so many folks who have never heard some of these more intricate things about the Bible that we really need to wrestle with in order to understand some of the depth and the breadth of the Scripture. We in the church should be talking about this stuff because it matters, because it changes the way that we view. And it gives us, in my opinion, it gives me more faith in the person of Jesus. It gives me more faith in the way of the cross, in the resurrection. It gives me more faith to go deeper and to really dig. And honestly, sometimes it brings up a lot of doubt doing biblical criticism. You really have to question things. But for me in my walk, it has deepened my faith. It has made me more enamored with this book. And it has led me to places I never thought I'd be. Because I've begun doing this hard work. I'm not saying that I'm an expert. That's kind of part of the point of this sermon, but it needs to happen. So, what is there to know? I'm going to give you three things that are just important to know, I think. And then we're going to talk about three things that are good for us to do in practice. All right? I don't have a slide, but I think I have notes on the little Bible app, if you're into that thing. Technology, you know, changes things. So what is there to know? Well, the first thing that we need to know is that we all necessarily interpret the Bible. All of us interpret what we read. Not only do we do it, Jesus did it, the gospel writers do it, the early church mothers and fathers did it. It's happened all throughout the history of the Scriptures, however old they are. Also, there's debate on how exactly old the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, are. Jesus did it. Jesus actually said that he was doing it in Matthew 5 when he said, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but I came to fulfill them. In essence, what he was saying is, I am here to give you the right interpretation because I know what God was doing in all of this. He's interpreting the Hebrew Scriptures for these people. He also did this in Luke 4 when he read, he opened the scroll of Isaiah and he read, you may or may not know. The year of the Lord is upon us, proclaim freedom to the captives, and you know that. He read from Isaiah and then he said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You know, that's him interpreting, saying this is the right way. The gospel writers did it. Luke says at the very beginning of Luke that I've collected all this information. Dear Theophilus, this is what has happened. He's interpreting what he's heard. John did it. At the end of John, he says that I've written these things so that you may believe. He's taking all the data and he's inserting the stuff that he thinks is most important to get the point across. He says again at the very end of John that if I were to record all the things that Jesus said and did, it would fill all the libraries of all the books of all the world. Paul does it numerous times. Paul quotes Hebrew scriptures and says, this is what it said, and this is what they meant. The early church mothers and fathers did it. I mean, everybody is always interpreting scripture. And what's important to know about that is that you bring a lens. I bring a lens to the table. I'm 30 years old. I was raised for most of my life in Indianapolis, Indiana, in the late 20th and early 21st century. I live in the most powerful nation in the world. I went to school. I have a college degree. All of these things form my lens. And through that lens, I am interpreting what I read in this book. All of you, that's the awesome thing, I think. All of us have different lenses. Now, of course, we know because the scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. And so we rely on Him heavily to help us. But we even interpret the way that we hear that voice through our lens. And so I'm not saying that you cannot step outside of that, but it's important to be aware of who you are and where you've come from so that you know how you're reading the scriptures, what things you might be reading into them, what things you might not see, you might see differently than your neighbor or your brother or your sister or your mother. You know, all the time when Daniel and I meet, almost every time we meet, we talk about the scriptures, we talk about discipleship, and we always have such awesome discussions. And sometimes he'll say something and I'll think, I don't know about that. And then, but it probably happens more often the other way around. I'll say something and he's like, And we discuss it and we kind of analyze, you know, what God's been teaching us, what we've been reading, because we see it differently than each other. And each and every one of us is the same in that. The author's worldviews, their lens, are also important to consider. Because the folks who wrote it down had a worldview that they looked through, that they saw the world. And so they encountered all this. God inspired them to write it all down. And they did, according to their worldview. You know, most of the, all of the authors of the Bible, they didn't have the Enlightenment. You know, you look in the Old Testament and you see a story about Joshua when the sun stood still in the sky. You guys know the story I'm talking about? Well, we had the scientific revolution that taught us that the sun always is still. And so obviously that's not exactly what they meant. Now, maybe the earth stopped or something. Who knows what really happened there? It was a really long day. I think that's the point that is trying to be made. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. We have to interpret that because we know that the sun doesn't move, right? And so just because it said the sun stood still in the sky doesn't mean that it's wrong. It means that they wrote it in a particular worldview, and that's what they saw. So who knows? Maybe God made the earth stand still, and they were just like, oh, wow, the sun's not moving. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. It was a miracle. That's the point of it all. But that's the thing that is important as we read the scriptures. You know, there's stuff in the Bible that if you just read it at face value, it really looks like it doesn't make sense. It kind of seems like it contradicts itself. There's things that you read and you're like, that doesn't seem to line up. But if you dig in, I'm telling you, if you really dig in, it makes sense. I have been a doubter and a skeptic for most of my life. And that is what has led me to this point, to dig in and to get after it and to, you know, to look into these things. And I'm telling you, the Bible can take it. It's got the depth to go the distance. That ought to be evident because it's made it this far. The second point I want you to know, which I've already kind of alluded to, is the Bible was written by people. Real people in real places at real times dealing with their own real problems. Now we know, because the Bible tells us, that the Word of God, that the Scriptures were inspired by God. They were God-breathed even. I love that metaphor. It's so deep and rich. that God spoke these words into these people. And I believe that with all my heart. But even with God speaking into them, they lived in a particular time and they were talking to a particular people. That doesn't mean that these words don't apply to us, because they absolutely do. But it's so important for us to consider all of these variables to get the full depth and breadth of the meaning of the text. Because when we can look, you know, what was Paul dealing with? What was the church in Ephesus going through? Why were they even talking about this? Not to mention the fact that there's nuance in the Bible, right? There's nuance all over the place. Like, think, think about any joke that you know. Like, you tell a joke. I don't really want to tell a joke because that's just, I don't know, weird. But think about a joke, and think about if you were to take that same joke and try to tell it in a different language. It probably wouldn't make a lot of sense, because jokes often use nuance. For example, why is the tomato red? Anyone? Because it saw the salad dressing. Get it? It's a joke. It's blushing. The tomato's blushing because it saw the... It's a joke. But if you tell that joke in like Spanish, salad dressing and dressing are probably not the same word, and so the joke doesn't transfer. And there's all sorts of this nuance in the scripture too, like when Jesus tells them, I can't remember exactly how it says, but not to give to the dogs what is sacred, or not to feed the swines, you know. Where is that, man? Yeah. That's nuance. You know, there's a contextual meaning to that that the first century listeners understood and they had more reference to. That kind of stuff's all throughout the scriptures. But guess what? When you look into it, when you say, that doesn't make sense, so you dig in, you do biblical criticism, you find that there's so much good depth to it. I mean, some of the stuff I've looked into, I'm like, wow, Jesus was brilliant. I mean, he just said this stuff. And it seems kind of, you know, cool to us. But then when you look at how he said it back then, it's like, wow, this stuff is rich. So good. The third thing is simply this. The Bible is true and inerrant and complicated. It just is. It is complicated. Now, I'm not saying that you can't just sit down with the Bible, you know, for a morning devotional and read it and not get something from it, because you absolutely can. Again, one of the coolest things about our scriptures is that you can read it at face value, and you can, almost any place you read, you can get something from it. But if we do the hard work of biblical criticism and really dig in, there's so much more. I mean, this book literally... I mean, you can study your whole life and never get to the bottom. And for me, the more that I dig, and I've already said this, but the more that I dig, the more wealth I find. It's so good. You see, I deal with a lot of people in my day-to-day that honestly couldn't care less for religion, couldn't care less for things of faith, for Christianity. They think they've outgrown it, honestly. And I think that's a lot of people in our postmodern society. A lot of people actually refer to our nation as becoming post-Christian. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we've just become lazy and we've just made the Bible a little cheaper than it is. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that some of these stories in here, you look at them and they seem barbaric, right? I mean, there's some pretty offensive stories in the Hebrew scriptures, like in Deuteronomy, when God says, if you invade a neighboring nation, if you find any widows among the wreckage, take them into their home, give them 30 days to weep, and then you may go into them. What? The people of God were doing that thing? That sounds barbaric. But if you dig into it, you find out that that was incredibly progressive, that God was teaching them to be better than other nations. God was teaching them, because you know what other nations were doing. They found a widow, that she was just their slave. And they just did whatever they wanted to her. She had no rights. And so God was teaching these people to be better, to grow, to change, to be set apart from society. There's so much of that stuff. But honestly, a lot of people I know, they've seen the Bible and they think, it's irrelevant. That book is ancient, you know, it's just mythic. It's just something of the past, you know, maybe like Greek mythology or like, I don't know, something else that none of us believe in anymore. But I stand as an advocate to them to say that this book matters. It still matters today. It's still relevant, but it has to be, we have to do the tough work of being critical about it. And the Bible can take it. This book can take it. It's had people hacking and whacking at it for thousands of years. And look, it's still here. Not to mention the fact that we have so much evidence that this book has and can stand the test of time. It's so good. So good. So what are we to do with this information? So those are your three things that you need to know, or that I think you need to know. Sure, there's more. So what can we do with this information? Well, the first thing is really simple. We need to listen to each other. I'll tell you, we live, and maybe, I don't know, I haven't been around that long, but it seems like with our world of social media and with this interconnected web, it's really easy to call out people as heretics. I see it every day. Somebody said something you don't agree with, and they're a heretic. You know, we're pretty judgmental when it comes to that kind of thing, I think. Now, again, the scriptures warn us about false teachers, and that's important. We have to do the hard work. We have to be committed to really digging in and to being, you know, to due diligence. But I think we've become a little overzealous in calling people heretics. I think it's important for us to listen. That's the thing. Listen to others. Really listen. A lot of times, I don't know if you know this, but in any conversation, there's always three conversations going on. There's the conversation you're having out loud. Then there's the conversation that you're having in your head that you're not saying out loud. And then there's the conversation that they're having in their head that they're not saying out loud. There's always these. And oftentimes, I know I do this. I'm the worst, probably. We listen to somebody and we're only listening to, like, collect data so that we can strike back. Like, you know, it's like we're only listening to enough so that we can counterpoint. Oftentimes, we don't listen to truly consider that they might be right. The person you're talking to could be right and you could be wrong. I know that's hard for some of us. It is for me. I mean, you can ask my mom. She's sitting right over there. I'm super offensive sometimes. But listening is so important. You know, I found as I've listened to people, I truly believe that most people who are dealing with this stuff, who are trying to wrestle with faith and the scriptures, and they're not trying to manipulate the system. They're not trying to be devious and, like, screw everybody up. They're honestly, earnestly seeking to know God. They want to know God better. They want to deepen their faith. And they've just come to a different conclusion than you have because their worldview is different. They've read different things. They've heard different things. They were raised differently. They're just different. It's not that they're evil and you're good. It's that you're both different from each other. Listening is so important. And the scriptures say that. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I think we could stop there, honestly. We just stop with listening because that is so huge. And another thing about listening, it means that we're actually talking about this stuff. You know, oftentimes our conversations don't even go deep enough to even consider wrestling with the things of the faith. We just talk about whatever, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody. Talk about the weather, or talk about our day, or I'll probably talk about deer, or, you know, something that's not as important. But to talk about these things, to wrestle with these things, to listen to each other. The second thing is to look into it. If you come across something in the scriptures that just, you're like, look into it. Dig in. There's a world of resources out there. Again, not everything on the internet is true. So be careful with your resources. Look into it. Ask your friend, ask your neighbor, ask your pastor, ask a colleague. Look into it. Ask people how they read it. You know, again, nuance, idiosyncrasies. We could all read the same sentence and come to like 20 different conclusions because there's just nuance in words and we all have different perspectives on them. Look into it. Go grab some commentaries. There's some great commentaries out there on the scriptures. Most of them, I feel like you have to have a master's degree to just read them because they're so complicated. But there's some that are really user-friendly and really, really good. And there's some that you can just find online. There's websites like blueletterbible.org or Bible Hub, or there's these places that just have instant links to commentaries. And it's so good. Look into it. Dig deeper. When we look into it, we will find that there is a depth beyond anything we could have imagined. I mean, you may think you're diving into it as if you're diving into a swimming pool, when really you're diving into the ocean. I mean, it's just vast and deep and good. So, so, so good. The last thing, the third thing, which I think is the most important, is love. Love no matter what. Even if you just think somebody is dead wrong. Even if you think they're absolutely off base, love them. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. Love them like you just, you know, like when Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler and he just couldn't come around Jesus' way. The scriptures say he looked on him with compassion. He knew that rich young ruler was walking in a way that was wrong. Because he just told him, and then he just couldn't do it. And Jesus looked at him with compassion. I think that's so key. There are so many people in the world that you will disagree with. I do. I guess I can't speak for you. But, I mean, I have my opinions. You know, I like to think I'm right about a thing or two. But love is the most important. So, listen to each other, look into it, and love each other. I hope that you've been challenged today. I am always challenged by the scriptures. I feel like every day I read something that just makes me just go, hmm. And most days, honestly, if I'm being honest, most days I'm just, hmm, and then I move on. And I don't. But there have been days where I've dug in so deep that I never found the bottom. I just kept going and going and going. And it's good. It's so good. It's so enriching and fulfilling. I hope you be challenged today to do that. As we close, the band's going to come up and we're going to worship a little more, but I hope that you'll just consider digging in. I hope you know that I love this book. That this book is the reason that we are here. If these folks hadn't been inspired by God and wrote it down and the church hadn't preserved it for all these thousands of years, none of us would be here. None of us would know who Jesus is. None of us would know the way of God. We'd all be lost. This book matters. And so I hope you'll give it some time. I hope you'll look into it. I hope you won't look at it as a chore, because it's not. Like I don't want anybody to walk away from this like feeling guilty, like, oh, I need to read my Bible like for an hour a day. Like that's not the point. The hope is that we would be enthralled by the God that is talked about in these words, and that we'd look for him in all things, that we can dig into it. Because the scriptures also tell us that when you seek, you'll find. When you seek with all of your heart. Let's pray together. God, we're so thankful that you are good. God, we're so thankful that you used people to record this collection of books that we know as the Bible so that we could know you. Wow. What an amazing gift that we have. And God, I pray that we would just, that we would be humble, God. That we would be humble in seeking it. That we would know that this book is full of mystery. And some of these mysteries we may never understand. But the one thing that I know with all my heart is that you are good. And that you love us. And that you've asked us to love each other. So at the end of the day, may that be where we leave. May we be challenged, and may we love fiercely. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.